All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Short week. It's a Tuesday after a long weekend here in Toronto and throughout the country. Noodles, you were out west. You looked like you had yourself a time. I'm sure you did.
I can come back with a red nose or something. You expect me to have like a rum nose or something?
I was concerned. I think I can speak for Owen and I and everyone else affiliated with this show. I know you were riding with Strutty, had the tight jeans, and the hair was flowing on Sunday night. And
I don't know. I've got one thing to point out. I didn't know this, but I didn't realize that Jason Strudwick carried a wallet, and it's like 3 inches thick. Like, he's got receipts from like 1985 in there.
Good.
I'm not that guy. I'm not a wallet guy. I don't know if you guys are, but like, I just keep a little money clip and that's it. Like, just bare essentials. But like, there are people out there that have giant wallets that are distractions.
I used to be that guy. I used to have it in the back pocket and sit, like, do radio shows, do 4 hours within in the back pocket. Just awful for your posture.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, you go through the big wallet, and you're like, I don't need 90% of this stuff I don't need.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Everything's online. Everything's on your phone.
Yeah.
And, I'm a clip guy, too. I'm just like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
Oh, are you a wallet guy?
No, I just want to get this out of the way. My front teeth are gone, and I am going to be talking like a moron for...
What do you mean they're gone? Like, did you...
Like, dude, I thought you had... I know. I bit into a sandwich. Dude, I...
Yeah. I don't know what you're supposed
to
do,
right.
Man.
No, I don't.
Know.
Keep crying.
Dude, I'm
keep
Lloyd
crying.
Christmas. And well, I doubled down on a sausage and egg, and I just took a bite, and all of them came out at the same time, all three of them. So I got to go until Friday.
I don't know how you're going to do that. Dude,
man. We're
I
don't know
this
either.
Afternoon. So not that you need all the details, but you must, what'd you have, like a bridge and it just like collapsed and it fell out of your teeth? Like how did it happen? Because you got, I don't know what you
10
can do,
years
man.
Ago, look at this guy.
What? I'm just, I'm trying to listen here. It's,
yeah.
I need
10 years ago, I had the three replaced and
right.
They saw down your front teeth and they attach it to it. And a couple weeks ago, I started feeling some pain up above my gums, and I'm like, maybe the time has run out. So right. I call the dentist, I make an appointment, and I'm like, something might be up here. Bit into a sandwich, one shot deal, all three came out.
Wow.
You should have seen my wife. She doesn't know, like, hockey and all that. She's like, what?
How did you
She's
lose
horrified.
Your teeth originally? Was it a stick or a puck or something? Like what?
Oh, yeah, sticks, puck.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever look back at, like, Nunes, you didn't have to worry about that so much.
I have chipped teeth from pucks and stuff. Nothing crazy where a guy like, I think James Neal was telling me and Gord Miller one night, he lost 8 teeth, like, with a stick that came around, and it just took out, like, basically the whole front. And he said, like, just with O's laying out, I don't mean to laugh, but like just with O's laying out, he literally would be like, I take a drink of a Diet Coke and it falls out. Like apparently they are very volatile. Like they just like, they go whenever. So I don't know. I thought you had like these permanent bridge, like you spent $1 billion on.
I did. And there was an option to do these ones, but I said there's a good couple years left in them, but they're apparently not. So now right. I had to go back today. And I have to wait until Friday to get new teeth.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sucks, man. I don't – obviously, they're going to have to make you some new teeth, but they're going to have to put some temps in, I guess, right? Like some temporary jibs.
Well, what I don't want is the stupid hockey player move where you have the ones where you take out
the flip. Yeah,
yeah,
the flipper.
No, I'm
the
not doing that.
The worst.
I'm not doing that.
No,
I'm getting temps Friday.
Tip.
I'm getting temps Friday, and I got to wait 4 months.
If you were like 24 years old, it's fine because it's a bar trick. How many times have you been at the bar with one of the guys and they like take out their teeth and put it in somebody else's drink?
I've done it myself. It's so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, but that, like nowadays, we're grown-ass men. You're not going to do that, but it's just, Listen, I feel for you. Like, that's, you know, there's nothing you can do. Like,
yeah.
It's the
I didn't know what
feeling.
To expect. Like, we spoke this afternoon. You were telling me about that. But I didn't have an image of what, you know, the which teeth they were, how it's going to affect your speech. And it's tough.
All,
I mean,
all gone.
Yeah.
you know what? The first thing I thought about is there's that show Shoresy. And like Letterkenny and like Shoresy, the guy on the front, like, has a few missing jibs. I'm like, obviously it's hockey player teeth. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's it's Drew Doughty. You can do about it's, it. I mean, yeah.
Who,
like
who
Bobby Clark,
has...
I think, is the most famous no
oh,
jib.
Oh, God. That's me.
Lloyd Christmas.
Well, Lloyd's got a chip, too.
Yeah, that's more like me. I actually have a Lloyd Christmas chip if I hadn't fixed it. I got a slap shot in the face and it chipped my tooth and... I've had it fixed many times, but you're missing like three, and those are three.
And I don't
like
care about the teeth. You just sound like such a moron. It's incredible. Like, I was golfing with a couple of buddies of mine, and I hit a crappy shot, and I tried to curse and swear golf, and they couldn't even take it seriously. They were like...
Well, you like start saying, like, flipping, like, holy flipping... Crap! You know, like, yeah. You need.
No, like I was like
turn.
That was such a you know what shot, and they were just like they started laughing. They're like, we can't even take you seriously with that face.
Well, wow. It is something you have to address because I mean we're on TV, radio, and everything. But a buddy of mine, I've noticed this is weird. Like I've played with him a couple times recently, and he's lost a tooth. Like over the course of the winter, he's lost a tooth, and he hasn't addressed. Not having the tooth. Like, I should ask him. Like, I don't know why I haven't.
Dude, your wife's a dentist. You just say, bud, what's up with the no tooth? I say to,
Drew
Doughty and Dan Carcillo, and it's like they never have teeth in. It's like, get teeth.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want teeth? Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously something happened. Maybe he had a temporary tooth anyway, or it was a bridge, or I don't know. There's all these different terminologies that, you know, a crown, is it actually an implant, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, man, this guy's missing a jib. Like, I don't know where it went. But over the course of, like, November, the last time I saw him, up until today, the guy's missing a tooth. And it's, like, a front tooth, and it's pretty obvious. But, yeah, I would say Doughty is, like, the modern version of – like, I think Bobby Clark, his no jibs, like, wrapping around the Stanley Cup is the most famous no teeth picture in NHL history.
That's what we should
find
out.
One, Joe.
What is the most famous no teeth person? Or, you know, like picture, like you say, iconic picture. That's really what it is. Because when you mentioned it and showed it right away, like that's what I thought of. Is, you know, Bobby Clark, guys like that who are missing the front teeth based on. And back then, those guys weren't getting the temporary. Like, I think they walked around. That was it.
There was
like,
no dental plan back then or anything. It was just. And you're not wearing helmets or anything. And like you mentioned James Neal, he wore a visor. Like, guys aren't going to wear a cage. I think eventually it will happen. I think cages will come to the NHL. I don't know when, whether it's 20 years from now, 50 years from now. I don't know. But at some point, it will happen. You know, like Overdrive in 1972 was saying, helmets will never be permanent. Well, look where we are now. Right. Cages will happen. But if you're going to wear a visor, like, there's nothing you can do. If you take a violent cross-check to the face, that's like getting hit with a bat in the face.
Right.
Like, there it is. That's the most famous no-teeth pick, I think, in NHL history.
I just
right
got
there,
the most
Bobby
hockey
Clark.
Hockey text of all time from Big Daddy Bobby McGill. Mm-hmm. It just says, I lost 13 one night in Boston Garden.
Was that that's got to be a stick or a fight. Like, that's not a fight. A guy doesn't
that's
punch you in the
outrageous.
Face and you lose 13. Like, that's an errant stick right across your grill.
That's
or
got,
a puck.
Especially not on Bob. Like, you're not getting you're not getting bombs in on him without him hitting you so hard in return that you're going to be like, all right, I'm in for one here.
Next time we have Strutty on, we got to ask him about how he lost all his teeth. That is, I mean, he got a slap shot in the face and in a practice at 9 a.m. the day after their rookie party.
Oh, he told us that story.
Yeah.
He went to the dentist, and his mouth was so dry, he thought he was going to choke out.
Yes, that, and I think he lost, like, I want to say, like, 10 type of thing anyways. And the doctor put him in, like, upside down and crooked, and I don't think they've ever recovered because he's still battling.
Right, he's still trying to get through that.
Exactly.
Well, you know where a lot of guys get it is on the dasher. You get hit from behind.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You get hit into the dasher and your jibs just go everywhere. But
look at the old picture of Strutt. Look at that beauty. His, I don't know if that's on our – is that on TV or is that just for us? It is. Put picture of Strutty up. Look at how tight his pants were. He was enjoying that, too. And he had, like, some sort of – what about running shoes? Is that legal to wear? He was wearing, like, some form
tops.
Of, like – was it high tops?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was, like, not late 80s, like, Nike, like, yeah. Jordan high tops with kind of crazy colors.
And they were purple. Yeah. He was enjoying himself.
Well, Strutty's the man. I mean, you guys got to see a couple of wild games out there in the Battle of Alberta right now. I mean – that series has been turned upside down. Like, everyone on earth was like, Calgary, Calgary, Calgary. In game one, even though it was 9-6, it was Calgary, Calgary, Calgary. Well, since then, there's a tough reality setting in with the Flames. Now, this series is far from over. It's 2-1.
Yeah.
It is far from over. But if Markstrom doesn't wake up, they're in big trouble.
Well, like the other thing is, Hayes, you can mention Markstrom, but – what the hell are they going to do about 97? Because
he's on another planet.
And I said it before the series, or it was after game one, I think. It was like, this guy's gone from showing up to the playoffs saying, I'm Connor McDavid, let's see what happens, to saying, I'm just not going to be stopped. And he is outrageous right now.
I witnessed it.
Yeah.
Like, I was in Calgary Friday night, in Edmonton Sunday night, and he's at another level every time he's on the ice. It's like the puck is a magnet for him. They can't get it away. It's like they're chasing him around. Like, I think Daryl Sutter had the best analogy. He's like, this guy is playing shinny hockey just out there, and everyone's chasing him around. He's playing keep away. And it is – he had that move in the second period at the blue line, spin-a-rama, put it to himself, and then put it backdoor for Kane.
Crazy.
That was at full speed. And I was right at that end, and I was like, holy smokes. Because when he made the move, I'm like, he's gone. Like, he's put himself in on a two-on-one, and then he makes the play. I mean, he is playing at another level, and, you know, Mike Smith is, for me, he's still a storyline because, you know, the goaltending, like, Markstrom was unbelievable in the first period the other night. Like, no joke. The Oilers, I think, outshot him like 21-7 or something, and Markstrom made three or four huge saves. And then it was McDavid's show. They just took over. That line is just flying, but it's 97.
Yeah, they are. I got to give them credit. I mean, I like, Draisaitl is grinding. He's clearly injured, but he's grinding, and he's contributing. And my reaction was it looked like a play of desperation, you know, putting those two together at the end of the previous series, I believe it was. And yet it's rolled over. Kane's had two hat tricks now in the playoffs. Zach Hyman is playing like a star. Like, legitimately like a star. And yet...
Superstar.
Like, the numbers he's putting up, the performances, the impact he's having on the game is through the roof, yet it's all overshadowed by McDavid because this was... It was so necessary. I mean, I have been... We've all been pleading for this opportunity for him, and he can't do it on his own. He had to get there, and the fact of the matter is the world has gone against him in terms of opportunities. And what I mean by that is not being available for the Olympics, having to play in the Young Stars team or whatever, Team North America at the World Cup. Like, he has not had his opportunities in the biggest moments to prove that he can elevate his game to a different level, because you have to, right? Being great in the regular season is important. It's necessary, and it's mandatory. You have to play those games. You got to play 82 every single year. But in order to move up the charts, in order to have – those moments in pro sports that the greatest of all time all have in every single sport, it's got to be in the playoffs, right? Or it's got to be at the Olympics or the World Cup, whatever it is. Like, it's got to be on the biggest stage.
Biggest stage.
And this is it for him. Now, I still think it's premature to anoint it as, you know, an all-time great run. It's 10 games. I think he's still got to go longer.
Hey,
know, like,
he got the Quizmaster out of retirement to write a little
that.
Piece.
Yes.
He got him out of retirement.
He did.
I don't know if you read the piece, but...
I read the piece, and the Quizmaster, our very own, has written an article. It happens to make its way up on TSN.ca, and the title of it is McDavid, Undoubtedly the Best Player Ever. So, now my read on it, you tell me if you interpreted this different. The essence of it is, he's the most evolved player ever. Right, in terms of the evolution, in terms of the pace, in terms of the skill, in terms of
Right.
You know, and in the moment, what he's been doing over the last 3 weeks, where he's got 23 points in 10 games, 9 of those 10 games he's had multiple points. It feels like he could have 35 points, right, on top of just the 23. A lot of primary points, primary assists, he's scoring goals. Listen, the guy, he's the player of his generation. Like, it's not a surprise he's the best player. We've known about this kid since he was 12 or 13. But to me, the best player ever based on evolution, to me, is always unfair to the players of history.
Right.
You know, like, fact of the matter is, you could put the worst player in the league today, the worst. I'm not going to name him because I'm not sure who that would technically be.
Right.
Who knows who that would be? But the worst player on the worst team, you throw that guy with today's modern day technology, diets, training, you know,
one piece sticks,
the skates they use. You put him in a time machine to 1925, that guy scores 17 goals a game.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the worst player in the league.
It's stand up goaltenders back then. Like,
exactly. So, like, saying that he's better than Gretzky or Howe or I don't know. Like,
it's difficult for me to say because, and I'm not trying to King Daddy Top or the Quizmaster, but watching Mario Lemieux live and playing against him, I find it hard to believe that, like, when he was cooking, I find that hard to believe that anybody's better than that.
Right.
And I understand McDavid skates 100 miles faster than Mario. I don't know. Gretzky, Mario, I don't know. The Quizmaster, I don't know. It's hard to believe that, to say that he's the best ever, I find that to be a tough one.
Well, here's why. If you drag those guys into this era, if Mario Lemieux got to play in an era where there's no hooking, there's no holding, there's no fear for your life out there, you know,
no,
like,
cross-checking, no like stick to the hands,
Scott,
nothing.
Scott Stevens isn't waiting for you. Like, there's no can opener. There's no slash on the hands just to let you know that they're there. Like, we forget that Mario Lemieux and Gretzky and all of those guys played in an era where, you know, that was accepted. Through the neutral zone, hooking, holding, slashing, like it's changed. The game has evolved as well. There's no criticism there. I just have always, I don't know how you guys felt, I've always had a tough time comparing eras because you're right. You take McDavid or anybody, just an average player, and put him into 1975. That guy's the best player out there based on what we know of him now.
Right.
But have that guy with today's mentality go back there and have Joel Quenneville chop you across the arm if you try to get by him, or Ken Danico.
Well, like, also, you know, put McDavid again, because you could do this either way. Take the guy, best player from, you know, take Guy Lafleur in 1977 and bring him here.
Right.
Or you take McDavid the other way, and guess what that means? He has to smoke. He doesn't train in the summers.
That's true.
He uses a wooden stick that weighs 12 pounds, right? Like, this is what gets lost in the shuffle is, yeah, you bring Mario in, but Mario has the knowledge of today. So he trains the way he trains. He sleeps the way these guys sleep. He eats the way they eat. You know, like, there's so much more to it. And I just, with no cups, he's finally having the big moment, the biggest stage. Like, I still think McDavid has more to prove here.
Sure.
More intangibles to prove. Like, there's no disputing the pace he plays with, the speed he plays with, the talent he has. He's an absolute phenom. He's a phenomenal player that's well on his way towards top 10, if not top 5 status. And maybe at the end of it, you look back and say he's the greatest ever. Maybe. But I'm not there right now, and I just don't think it's fair. And I don't think that's what the Quizmaster was doing. Like, I think he's just pointing out the obvious, because here's another thing you could apply it to. The other positions. Vasilevsky is way better than Jacques Plante, but how is it fair? You know what I mean? Like, you can't – you put Vasilevsky the way he plays in 1942, no one's going to score on him for 7 weeks.
No, honestly, 7 years. Seven years.
These guys are coming across the middle trying to lob a pass through his legs. You'd say, are you nuts? I'll stop that with my hand.
Yeah.
Like, it's incomparable.
You're right. Like
the
a big slap shot. They used to come across the blue line, change their angle, go back against the grain on the ice, and the goaltender come charging out and fall down.
Right.
And Vasilevsky would just sit on his goal line and do the butterfly. They'd be
and
like,
laugh.
What the hell is that?
Laugh
Noodle, speaking of Vasilevsky, Leaf fans, you got to stop doing this. to me anyway, when you see me out and about. You can't – you got to get away from saying, oh, Tampa just swept Florida. Maybe it's not so bad that the Leafs lost. Maybe they should be proud of themselves. No. Cut that nonsense out.
I look at it the opposite way, personally. Call me
a cynic. You had two cracks. You had three cracks last year. You had two cracks. I don't care how good Tampa is or what they did to Florida or how quickly they disposed of them. You had two cracks and you didn't get the job. Stop saying that now it's cool or now it was okay and they played well. It's just I hate that.
The only thing I could point to is we saw the real Vasilevsky at halfway through game five and game six and game seven, or
I would say the beginning of the third period of game six, really. I mean, right. Prior to that, you know, they put three on the board in game six.
Right. But like I'm just saying, this guy has found his groove, he's found
his
game.
He's unbelievable. The way he played last night was absolutely insane.
You feel bad for Florida because Florida, I mean, there was a critical mistake. We didn't get an opportunity. We haven't had a show since then. But, you know, when they lose with, 3 seconds left in regulation?
Outrageous, yeah. Jamie.
That
outrageous.
Was game two, though. That was a long time ago.
It is. It's outrageous because, you know, why is your fourth line on the ice when you just had a penalty? You know that Tampa's going to come back with your top line. That's just a rule after killing a penalty off. Kucherov makes a ridiculous pass to Colton. But, I mean, those are mistakes where, you know, I think Florida was like, we're just going to overtime here at 1-1. And Kucherov's like, no, I'm going to make a ridiculous play.
You know what I noticed about that team? Well, it's clear in the last 2 years they won the Stanley Cup. But to a man, everyone is committed to every simple little detail. It's like finishing checks, back-checking. It's just to a man. It's like Ross Colton, Corey Perry, Kucherov. They all have the same mentality. And they don't take any little like detail off. It's like Engvall and Nylander going in the corner and just like mailing it in. Those little plays, like they just don't happen. They do not happen to a man. And it's like they understand that those – you guys talked about it, the investment into the opposition. They don't take a shift off. It's like they don't do anything off. It's play like a champion, like their dressing room says. Well, no excuses, and they do it.
And look what they've done. They've won 10 series in a row.
Crazy.
Which I believe is now third all-time in NHL history, which is incredible. Obviously, those Islanders in the early 90s or early 80s, they won 19 in a row. And the Habs did it. They won 13 in a row from 76 through 80. But that ties the late 50s Habs for 10 straight series in a row, and now they're going to play either Carolina or New York, and they get to sit back and wait because that series is at 2-1. Game 4 goes tonight. And, yeah, from a Leaf angle, I don't look at it as
consolation
anything.
Prize?
No, I look at it with even more bitterness because I think they would have beat Florida. That's how I look at it. Florida was ripe for the picking. Florida clearly was a team that, you know, they could score the next, which was crazy. They scored more goals than any team in the league, and then they could not get past Vasilevsky or Tampa Bay for that matter. But that's how I looked at it was, man, you had Florida. Like, Florida has no history of winning either, right? Like, no history of winning either. And Tampa went in there and just dismantled them and sweep them. And it wasn't like it was blowouts or anything like that. You know, game one they took off on them. But, you know, that's what happens. Like when you lose, you take yourself out of an opportunity to go and take advantage of a team that maybe doesn't have it.
And that's what we talked about all at the beginning of the playoffs, Hayes. It's like you get through round one, and then you got a team like Florida that doesn't have it together. They didn't really have it together against Washington.
No.
They squeaked by that series because Washington couldn't get a save. So it's like you wheel by Florida, and then all of a sudden you got Carolina and the Rangers, who are good teams. But you're looking at that opportunity thinking, that's our chance to go.
You
have a chance.
Yeah.
You're right. And I'm not trying to rain on that. But, like, the difference is Jack Campbell's not John Wick.
No,
he's
not.
That's the difference. Like, Florida would have got goals on him. Like, would have got goals on Campbell. Like, there's no guarantee what would have happened. But you're right. You've got to give yourself that opportunity. And unfortunately, you come up short. Like, that's the thing. I'm looking at these playoffs. And the razor thin margin between winning and losing, that's the difference. And that's what Kyle's got to look at and say, you know what? Yeah, I think I know what I'm going to get from the top of my roster. You know, it might be the fourth line right wing that might be a difference maker. Like a Nick Paul at a deadline, guys like that who play a little bit harder to and get to middle of the ice instead of guys that, you know, have egg jerseys on and disappear at the end of the series.
Like just that, the guy that'll score a goal, Jamie, in a big moment.
It's exactly.
Like, we talk at length, and we should, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. But could any of those guys, Kasha, Engvall, Mikheyev, like, they got to get a goal or make a play. That's the key. Coaches have been talking about it the whole playoffs. Stars can sometimes cancel each other out. You got to get a guy that can make a play or score a goal. I don't care about their stats or their underlying numbers. Can they make a play when it counts, and can they score a goal? That's all that matters, man, for your depth guys.
And Brian made a great point at the start of this. You can have a great regular season, and you have to have a great regular season to give yourself an opportunity.
Sure.
Playoffs are another animal. Like, you've got to find another level, and you've got to bring what you're capable of and more. And that's the difference.
Look at what those two guys in Florida, Jamie, they dominated the regular season. Barkov, Huberto,
they were
all those guys. They were invisible. They
canceled.
Were no-shows.
Done. Like, and that's the thing. I unless it comes out.
And you got to give some credit to Cooper and company for doing that. But those guys, they realize that they just can't show up and be Huberto and Barkov, and all of a sudden they're going to romp teams. They had to find another level, and they couldn't do it, Hayes.
There's no ice out there for them. That's what it is. Like, the ice out there during the regular season, you can make the drop passes. You can delay and wait for another wave to come through. In the playoffs, it's not there. It's not available to you. Every piece of ice is contested. Florida found that out, and I know, you know, some of the Leafs found that out in that playoff series against Tampa, but you know, we're seeing it. I mean, Colorado, I mean, we'll get into Kadri and his. Like, there's lots to talk about. I do have one thing. As we were talking, the Quizmaster called me. He wants in on the chat. Apparently wants to either defend himself.
He wants to defend himself? Okay. Should we come back and let him defend himself?
I think we should
give him a cold call. Give him a cold call.
Well, let's come back with a cold call. We'll do that. Let's get – okay, we'll bring in the Quizmaster, and he can explain – where he stands here. And I want him to answer what he thinks would happen if we put someone in the time machine, because we're going to play time machine TV and radio here. That's how we roll on this show. Hypotheticals. What would happen
Kucherov
if this guy played?
And Vasilevsky in 1942.
Right. It would be – I don't know what it would be, because, again, they'd be living on a different diet. Vasilevsky wouldn't have a helmet on, so who the hell knows what would be going on. All right, we'll call him up. We got confirmed with the nine in about an hour. MJ's coming up. The Jays are back in action tonight. Gausman's on the mound. There's a lot going on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, game four, the Battle of Alberta going tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Mike Johnson will join us in about half an hour. We've got Steve Phillips coming up on the Jays, losing an extra innings last night. And they're back in St. Louis and Busch Stadium, such a cool park, such a great baseball town. Noodles,
dude,
you would know that from your own experience.
It's very good.
Their bats are
Runners
really...
in scoring position, outrageous.
Yeah, it's the worst in the league. The worst in baseball, man. They don't hit home runs either. Vladdy hasn't hit a home run, it feels like forever.
15 games, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 games he's gone without a home run. Like, it's they are just not hitting with pop. They're not hitting with purpose. It's a bad scene, the bats right now. So
you know who didn't take many games off who was pretty good?
Who's that?
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. That's right, well, but not the best ever.
212 points 1 year, 92 goals.
Not average the best player. Ever. Average player.
Undoubtedly not the best player ever because according to our friend Steve Dryden, a.k.a. the Quizmaster, and up on TSN.ca, now maybe this is the editor who went with this headline, McDavid, undoubtedly the best player ever. Here is the Quizmaster. We'll give you the floor. How do you explain yourself with that quote or that headline, McDavid, undoubtedly the best player ever?
Well, it's a direct quote from me from the story, and it's also me that wanted it to be the headline. So I take full responsibility for it. I mean, I think that you're right that you talked a lot about the evolution idea, which is really based on this. And I'm certainly not going to argue with O, who's been on the ice with Marilyn Hugh, but I think... you know, that there's not enough emphasis on the fact there's just never been a player like him before. And nobody's had that kind of package, that combination. Nobody's had the brain power of Gretzky. Very specifically said, brain power, not the brains of, because, you know, Gretzky was Einstein. And, I mean, McDavid has brain power, not the equal of. Very specifically said that, you know, in the hands, you know, the hands of Lemieux, and then the wheels of Orr. There's just never been a player like that. And now we see the will of Crosby, which we hadn't seen this until this year. And that was what we've talked about in the playoffs. We've seen in a whole different player. So nobody's had that combination before. I mean, Orr would be the closest, but he didn't have those hands. And he was the first to say he didn't have the acceleration. So, yes, evolution is a big part of it, but I it's not just that. There have been a lot of players since Lemieux, since Gretzky, and nobody's in the ballpark.
I'm not going to lie, Steve. I think when you put it like that, it kind of makes you think maybe you're onto something.
Well, yes and no. Here's my question. I would like you to respond at how you would
now feel. You're going to get it, Steve.
Here no, you're not. Like, this is what, and you and I have talked at length about this. How do you compare era adjusted? Because Hayes brought up a point. You put Vasilevsky in 1955, he gets a shutout every night.
No, like, how 82 shutouts.
That's my question is, I've always struggled with this because when people talk about Sawchuk to Patrick Waugh to, you know, Hasek or, you know, you name it, there were great goalies back in the day. They were using, you know, no gear, no mask, no nothing. There were great players back then. They were using that modern day equipment at that time. So that's my struggle is I understand your argument that you've laid out that he's the most evolved. I don't disagree with that, but how do you, you know, what would you say a Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky in today's world if Wayne Gretzky got an opportunity to train and do all of the things that McDavid does?
Well, I've never had any issue, any problem comparing different eras because you just look at dominance. Wayne Gretzky was in a whole different hemisphere than everyone else, as was Bobby Orr, as was Mario Lemieux, as was Gordie Howe in many respects.
Right.
But I just think that what this guy is doing in a whole different time when the game has never been better, it's just not the same game. I mean, the level of competition, the level of preparation, the level of coaching. You know, think about what they're trying to do. It just wasn't the same. Again, even when I say that, you know, I'll defer to player. To, you know, you guys played. You were on the ice. But I think, you know, I think we believe that it just wasn't that level of excellence that we have now. It's complete and utter excellence all the way through the lineup. And you know, for what he's doing and the superiority he's demonstrating. Again, I'll come back to that. It's the combination of all four qualities that I don't believe we've ever had in a player. I mean, there's no questioning that Gretzky was at a different level of what he did. But no one else, in Mario and, you know, Bobby to a certain extent, had the combination.
Well, there's one ingredient missing, though, and that would be physicality, Steve.
Right.
And I'm curious, it is a physical sport. McDavid is not a guy that imposes physicality on anyone. Why is that not an important ingredient?
Well, respectfully, Brian. Respectfully. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's the will. That's what's happening this year that we haven't seen before.
It's been 10 games, though, Steve. 10 games.
No, what I'm saying is that's what we've seen so far in the spring. So I completely agree with you. You know, it is 10 games, but remember, the base is there. He is this unique, the most highly evolved player ever. So the base is there, but we've seen something different here. And I'm not saying that he played as physically as Bobby Orr, as an example. But then again, neither did Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but he's added that element. And he's added the, you know, well, why don't we call it competitiveness that we, you know, that we haven't seen. You guys were talking about him not either having the opportunity or delivering at that level when it mattered most. Well, right. And again, absolutely 10 games. Absolutely. But, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that, you know, what we're seeing is it's not like we haven't seen it before. We've just seen it now on the ultimate, on the ultimate platform.
Yeah, like I look at McDavid, the pace that he plays at is incomparable. Like in terms of the all-time greats, no one has played at that pace, you know.
Ever.
Era adjusted. Yeah, right. The guy can skate and fly and make plays with the puck at that pace that I think is no one can compare to. But I do wonder, you know, like he's not, he doesn't have the best shot in the league. Is he the best passer? Like, is he a better passer than Kucherov? I don't
know. No,
I don't think
not.
So.
No.
Well, so like that's one. I wonder where you take that, Steve. Like the pacing, the points. It's outrageous, and I'm not here to rain on his parade. The guy's the best player in the world.
But,
Hayes,
you've
got to
admit, he's way better than everybody else.
He is. He's undoubtedly – that has been proven here. And I don't think it ever should have been up for debate. Now, in pockets throughout the season, guys can be hotter than him. That's still allowed. But in terms of a big-picture discussion, who's the best player in the world, the discussion should have been over years ago. It certainly is now. He's the best. Period, end of story. But
so, –
is he the best goal scorer, best playmaker? I don't know if he is, Steve.
Well, no argument that he's necessarily definitely not the best goal scorer.
No, he's not.
Definitely not. But in terms of his passing / playmaking ability, he doesn't necessarily. I think he's a great passer, and but we have to really remember about it. Like he's got 21 primary points, goals, and first assists. You don't have to necessarily. I mean, remember, he doesn't play the game the same way, as you know, like the way Kucherov plays. Kucherov,
right.
You know, is if you want to compare Kucherov to someone, it's like a Gretzky. You know, he controls the pace of the game. And so, but look at the first assist, look at the pass he's making, and, you know, he makes these, he does all the work and then makes these great backdoor passes. So, you know, and I think it's an important distinction that he, you know, Gretzky was the greatest mathematician, you know, the game's ever seen. You know, he solved any mathematical problem, any, the algebra of the game, you know, figuring out what to do, how to connect the dots. But McDavid is so effective and he does it differently. So I think he is a fantastic playmaker. I think Leon Draisaitl sees the game like very few others, for sure.
Right.
But I don't, right. But I mean, it's an absolute fair point about McDavid's shot, for sure. But again, you know, Gretzky didn't have a great shot, but he could score some great goals.
Oh, yeah.
and he scored a lot of them. And he scored a lot more, of course, than Connor McDavid has.
We're chatting with our good buddy, the Quizmaster, a.k.a. Steve Dryden. He's got an article up on TSN.ca entitled McDavid, Undoubtedly the Best Player Ever. And it's a very detailed piece. And you canvass a number of people, including Craig Button. I have never heard this term before, and I've had multiple people reach out and demanding that I ask you, Craig calling the Oiler captain Connor McHockey God. When has that been stated before, and can we use that now or what?
I believe that, you know, Craig does like to coin phrases.
Okay.
And I think he has coined that term. He said that
Let's
a couple of games
ago. Let's stick with
ago.
McJesus, no?
I think it's on all the same lines, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a variation. Craig's trying to get creative. We appreciate that. Well, yeah, listen, you've got people buzzing. He's got people buzzing, which is great. I mean, he is the story of the playoffs right now. Wouldn't you say, Steve, what McDavid's doing?
Well, think about it. I mean, Draisaitl has 4 assists in that period. Never happened before. And we're talking about McDavid.
Right.
And you know, that. And so that tells you something. You saw it. You know, you were there, Jamie. You saw what Draisaitl was doing and the way he played. And he's gutting it out, you know, playing with an injury. But there's only one story. And you know, I actually used that quote about Sutter saying about the shinny that you mentioned, Jamie. It's the same. It's just, it's him and then the rest of the league right now. And you know, I mean, it's not like it's never happened before, but this in today's game where everyone is so damn good, it's something to see.
It is. I mean, I was there live. I watched it. It was amazing. All I can think of, though, is we talk about it right now. If Calgary wins tonight 6-2 and they find a way to shut them down, and if Calgary ends up winning this or 6 or 7, just because they – I don't think we've seen Calgary's best or even close to it right now. Don't make no bones about it. Uncle Daryl will have that team chugging tonight.
So it'll
be interesting to see. But that's the thing, like, you know, right now watching him, he is on another level. It is special to watch. I think it's good for the game. You know, I've wanted 3 Canadian teams in it just because it's better. I think it's better for the country, better. You know, I know no skin in it on the weekend. And I went to Calgary and I went to Edmonton, and watching the fans, other than a few idiots that were, you know, I don't know if you saw the elevator with Backstrom and Mangiapane, other than a few morons, I think it's been great for hockey to watch it, and the, some of the best players on display.
It's been outstanding.
Well, it seems hard to believe that McDavid will be able to sustain it, even, you know, he has, but, and that the Lindholm line won't do more. I mean, that Kane Drysdale McDavid line is they've outscored the opposition, the Flames, 6-0 at 5-on-5. And, you know, meanwhile, the best 5-on-5 line in the league has been outscored. So, you know, you would have to think that that's going to change eventually.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah. The fourth installment of the Battle of Alberta goes tonight in Edmonton. Get to TSN.ca and read it for yourself. McDavid, undoubtedly the best player ever. We always love the content come from you, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
There he is, Steve Dryden. He's got a way to get into the show. It's not easy to contact the people that need to be contacted, but the Quizmaster knows what he's doing, and I'm glad we had him on because, listen, he makes very – valid,
that's a valid
solid
point.
Points. Like McDavid's an all-time great. He already is. But, you know, the era-adjusted stuff.
I struggle with that. And also, too, you know, we always measure our players by their success, by what they did over their career, right?
Right.
So he's short of everything right now other than the individual awards, right?
Well, one thing I like about that guy, the Quizmaster, it might be the only thing, but it's what I like about him. He has conviction. Like he's not just doing that to say, look at this fluff piece. That's conviction.
He's a true believer. Yeah, he woke up and said, I'm writing this and post it, and I want to talk about
but
it.
But the difference is he backs it up. Like there's, you know, he's got us all thinking. You're right. Like take a look at the brain power. Take a look at the hands. Take a look at the skating. Take a look now of the willpower of a guy like Crosby, who we always talk about. Crosby,
but that's the
in,
guy.
Right?
I'm glad you brought. I was just thinking about him. Like we don't need to talk about Howe and Gretzky in the movie. There's a guy still playing right now,
right,
who I'm sorry, McDavid's still got a pass in my books. Like
right,
he hasn't passed Crosby. Like on a one-off in different areas, you can say he's more dominant here, he's more dominant there. But if
right,
you're asking me, you know, game seven on the line tonight, Crosby in his prime or McDavid in his prime, I'm still taking Crosby.
Yeah.
Until McDavid proves more.
So does he have
to
win for you to for him to make
I
that
I think
leap?
So. I mean, Sid's got a golden goal, 2 Olympic golds, 3 cups, right? Like, he's got
yeah,
the hearts. He's got the Ted Lindsays.
Well, that's what it is, too. Like, we all remember the golden goal. Who scored it, right? Like, that's the difference. And but it
I know
comes
what
back
I'm getting out
point,
of him in those moments.
Right, but it comes back to your point. We haven't seen McDavid on the biggest stage until now. Like,
right.
I mean, he made it past the first round.
And it's
what,
still
it,
only
3 ago?
Games into the second round.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that doesn't
exactly
mean he won't keep doing it. And if he does, deserves
right,
all the tire pumping in the world. He's the best player in the world. But
yeah,
you know, anyway, we'll see what MJ has to say about this. He's coming up, confirm or deny the PGA Championship. We should get back into what your boy did, Pereira, on Sunday,
dude,
on 18.
You know what? Take a break because
we'll
I tell you
back
who I'm going to blame. I don't blame him. I blame someone else.
All right, we'll get into it more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Before we get into this choke job that happened on the weekend with my guy Pereira, I just want to say congrats to Cam Allen, Guelph Storm Rookie of the Year. Third guy to win OHL Rookie of the Year, following in the footsteps of some legends. Pereira, go Hazy.
Yes, Mito Pereira.
Dude.
I feel for this dude because
dude.
It's immediately Jean Vandeveld, right? Like he literally put it in the water, too.
But
it's
why
Vandeveld
not?
In 18.
Why not the caddy, though? You give him a 2-iron or look at this swing.
That
what,
swing
what?
Is, I've seen, I know, that's my swing. I know that's, you know what that swing is? I need to bunt this onto the fairway. That's what that was. A bunting. And it's awful. The mechanics.
But the caddy, put a 3-iron or a 3-wood in the guy's hands and then walk off the tee.
Yep.
And say, this can't get to the water, so hit it.
Exactly. Exactly. Put like 3-wood and hit it as hard as you think you can. Or want
yes
to. It doesn't matter.
And
but
it's probably going to go 300.
Exactly, the way those guys play. And then it immediately takes double out of play.
Oh,
you know, it's so easy to say it, but you're right. Find the fairway with a three wood, find the middle of the green, and two putt and leave with the
Wanamaker. You were bent out of shape taking a 10, like in like your club golf.
Right.
Imagine what that guy feels like right now.
Oh, you'd be puking all over yourself leaving that place. Trunk slamming is not strong enough of a term, but I give him credit because he did the rounds and did the interviews afterwards.
Damn right he did.
He sat there and said, "What do you got? You know, ask me. I'll try to explain what happened." But he's immediately Vandeveld. He's Phil at Winged Foot. You know, it's those are the three.
God,
those are the three. It was Phil putting it off some guy's roof at Winged Foot, no six, Vandeveld, and now Pereira. Like, it's just a meltdown on 18, the 72nd hole. It's sickening.
Terrible.
And then
Terrible.
They had a playoff. Like, not even in the playoff, right? Like, it's one thing to puke it away. It's another thing to watch Bill Zalatoris and Justin Thomas. We'll get back into it in the next
Dude,
hour.
Dude, Billy Zalts, I'm that telling you stroke. What, that putt, he is – it's that's going to cost him 10 majors.
I know it is. It's the worst stroke
Joe, get some clips of this putting. It's outrageous.
All right. That more coming up in the next hour. A full breakdown of Zalatoris and his putting stroke. Confirm, deny, and MJ still to come. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.